Let's take this email question. Keith wants to know, and Mim will begin with you on this one. If you're elected mayor and a seat on the assembly becomes open, which is what happened in the last mayoral race, would you look to fill that vacancy with someone who showed prior interest and intent to be on the assembly by having run in an election and was a runner-up, or would you appoint someone of your own personal choosing? Keith asking that question by email. Mim McConnell.
I would like to appoint a runner-up. I think it's important to appoint someone that has been vetted by the community, that has gone through the process of running for a seat, and people have had a chance to talk with them. And if they're, you know, next up in the list of vote getters, I think that that's pretty important and needs to be respected.
Tor Christensen, same question to you.
I could say it depends how far down we're going. You know, it's obviously your first inclination is to look there. But I think we need to keep our options open. You know, if, you know, like in this, if you're going down fourth or fifth or something like that, it's at some point you just say, okay, we have a pool of very talented people here. Generally, those are shorter terms, like a year. We've probably got 20 or 30 ex-assembly people in town, and who usually two or three of them come up and offer their services. So I wouldn't want to box myself in and say, yes, we're definitely going to go with the next person. But it's obviously the first place you look.
Cheryl Westover, appoint someone of your own choosing or a runner-up in an election?
I have to say ditto to Tor's comments. I've been involved in this, I think, twice. And yes, if you go down to maybe the fourth or fifth place person, but that's not necessarily a will of the people. And if you've got some big issues and you've got an like Bill Payton, I mean, what a coup to get him back to fill in the last few months for Terry Blake's position. So, no, I wouldn't box myself in and say we have to do that. I think I've proven that I wouldn't do that just by a couple different occasions where I've had to vote differently. So,
all right. If you're just joining us, we're talking with the three candidates for mayor of Sitka, and we'll be here until 8 o'clock. This is KCAW Sitka time now, just after 7 o'clock. If you want to give us a call, the number 747-5877. You can email us, news@kcaw.org. You can visit us on Facebook, facebook.com/Raven Radio. Another email question here from Katie. And actually, before we get to that question, we're going to take a – do we need to take a – okay. We're good to go. Beg your pardon. Another question here from Katie. And Katie asked a similar question last night to the assembly candidates. But here it is. City administration and the assembly actively engaged and cultivated a working relationship with representatives from the cruise ship lines for many years. With little to no dialogue and collaboration between city leadership and the cruise ship industry in the last 4.5 years – visitation has plummeted, she says. So her question is, what do you propose to do as mayor to change this and to reinitiate active engagement and dialogue with cruise ship personnel to determine what they need from the city to increase their visitation? A good day to ask this question, of course. The first cruise ship docking in Sitka happened this morning. Tor Christensen, how do you court the cruise industry?
Well, for starters, call them and get down there and see them. I think we need to have a presence at Sea Trade in Miami. The cruise ship, I guess, convention the trade show that goes on in the fall. We need to be actively kind of banging at their doors, looking for different ways to show that we are interested in their being here. You know, some of the things I've thought of is doing joint advertising. Like I was talking about earlier, trying to put an ad on the Food Network when that show runs. And if we could put in that ad, you know, Holland America comes to Sitka, and, you know, and give the Holland America number and say, make sure you book to Sitka, something along those lines to a partner. But we need to be, you know, I guess almost camping out at their doorstep for a while here and make sure they know we're interested. Of course, what happened today was great. When they're looking to go to talk to the cruise ship lines, if we need to make sure that they know that the city's available to come, if necessary, stand in the back of the room and say, yes, we support them, to try and help them, anything we can do. the you know, we need to we've kind of, I think, very unfairly gotten a little bit of a reputation as being not friendly to the cruise ship lines, and I think we need to repair that. And so obviously we need to talk to Fred Reeder down at Cruise Ship Agencies and use him as a resource, because he's very much interested in having more boats come to Sitka, and he has the contacts with the Convention and Business Bureau, and working hard to make sure that they know we are willing to do what it takes. You know, I've thought maybe something along the lines of, with our lighting facility, saying, you know, look, if you do more than a certain number of trips a year, the rest are free, because then, you know, an empty dock doesn't make any money. And if we say, let's say a cruise ship company is coming in 50 times a year, say anything over 50 is free, we're not out of anything, because they wouldn't be coming anymore anyway, and we get some extra ships. And it shows, more importantly, it shows that we're open for business with them. But we got to get going. We got to start working at it, you know, working the phones.
Cheryl Westover, same question to you, which is how do you court the cruise industry? But I want to append it, as the incumbent mayor, I want you to also to maybe address what you've done in the last 3 years and what you might do if reelected.
Yes, and I think there is a history of maybe not being cruise ship friendly, but I think the past 2 years, I think this assembly's been very cruise ship friendly. I agree with what Tor said, and I think another thing, I've talked to Fred and said, let's get the decision makers up here and not try to compete with the world market at Sea Trade. Let's bring them up here and talk to them and see what we can do better. I've had the opportunity since I've been retired to spend a lot of time downtown with my Malamute dog, and we've gone around and courted the visitors, because the visitors are the customers, and if they're happy, then they go back and tell the cruise ship. And I've said, if you like, what do you like about Sitka? And I don't think I had one negative comment. And I said, you go back to the cruise ship, and you let them know that Sitka is a wonderful destination for the cruise ships, and they should make more stops in Sitka. And but I really think we need to bring the decision makers here and sit as a body, so decisions can be made right there and then, and say, what can we do to attract you here? But I think it's an industry. They come in the morning. The people walk around town, even in the rain, I've noticed this summer too, and they spend a little money, help the businesses, leave some sales tax dollars, and then they get on the ship and go away, and it's just like Carl Sandburg's poem, The Fog. It creeps in and they creep out, and not creep out, but it's silently walk away or whatever, however the poem goes. And I think it's a real easy industry for us to that trickles down, the economics trickle down to you folks out there in Sitka to help maybe pay rates and fees that are going up.
All right. Min McConnell, how do you court the cruise industry?
Well, I'm fine with what's been said here. Let me just add that I think that I would agree with Cheryl. I think in the last couple of years that we have been courting the industry, and I think that that needs to continue. But I also think that a lot of what we've seen happen with the cruise industry in Sitka is because of the economy. That it's just, it hit Sitka a little bit later, just like fashion does. And it just, it's, you know, it's got to run its course. And, you know, when I was back east, things were looking pretty good economy-wise, better than I think what people are experiencing here. And so I think that we'll get to that point too, and especially if we're all working together on it. So, but the other thing too is that I think that there's other creative ways of bringing visitors to town, and including the cruise industry, and that's through this branding process. I think that going through the branding process that the Destination Sitka ad hoc group from the Economic Summit is working on is going to be an excellent process for the community, for our economy. It's going to help identify the ideal segment of visitors that we should focus on attracting to our community. And then we can take that information and the whole branding package that we would end up with and work on with the cruise lines on helping to bring that segment here. so that we're really getting the bang for the buck, getting the people that are going to be the best ones for to be coming to our community. So it's an exciting process, and I'm really looking forward to that moving forward, and it is. The Tourism Commission's going to be working with the Destination Sitka Working Group, and it's happening. So people can get involved with that, too. That's going to be you'll be hearing more about that.
If you have a question for any of the candidates for Sitka Mayor, the number to call is 747-5877. We have Teo on the phone. Teo, thanks for holding. What's your question?
Yeah, my question is really about creating a sustainable community here in Sitka. And it seems to me everywhere we look around the world, economies are hurting, resources are dwindling, and climate change is happening. So my question is, what are we going to do to create a sustainable community here that is not dependent on the lower 48 or anyone else? Because if economies crash all the time and change, and so we live in an area that can become potentially very difficult to live in if the economy is hurting more and more and, say, petroleum continues to go up since we did go past peak oil already. So what are we going to do to create that is my question. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Cheryl Westover, let's begin with you on that.
Well, Teo, I definitely think we have to have a sustainable utility or power, which is our dam. I think once we have that, I think people out there, I see a lot of people gardening and little hot houses going around and that sort of thing. But sustainable, I don't think we could ever not rely on the lower 48. We're an island, and there's just a lot the island can't afford. But I think having affordable power is our first goal. And probably right off the bat, by your standards or by maybe some people's standards, it's not affordable. But it's going to be the most affordable we can come up with, and we go from there. But I don't think we can ever get away from the lower 48, because all our supplies and all that comes up from the lower 48. So we've got to depend on them, but become as self-sustaining as we can in our own right. I still believe in a big timber industry. I think that would help us. If we could somehow cut our own timber and make our own lumber, we wouldn't depend on the outrageous prices we pay to bring timber up here, things like that. I think there's a way to do it, but I don't see us becoming totally sustainable.
Mim McConnell, building a sustainable community.
Well, yeah, one of the things that I've learned, I've been living in Alaska since 1975, and I spent 13 years in Port Alexander. And one of the things that I've learned about Alaskans is that they are amazingly resourceful. And it's, you know, there's that. And then people are also passionate about helping their neighbor and working together and finding solutions to problems. And, you know, the people in the crunch will put their differences aside and help each other out. And that's going to help this community a lot. Getting down to some more specifics, the Local Foods Network is a wonderful organization that is doing its part to help people learn how to garden, and even if it's just container gardens, and that's a good thing. Keeping our wildlife and sea life healthy, having healthy stocks, is vital, because it's such a huge part of our food chain here. Having a strong, dependable hydroelectric system is a huge deal for Sitka. We are so blessed with that. Working to find other alternative energy sources here in town are also just as important. Having heat pumps in people's homes and in city buildings, you know, conservation, people turning off the power and just any little thing, just flipping stuff off so that you're conserving energy and just making that a lifetime habit and teaching it to your children. The other thing is that it's important for us to look at our community and be thinking about resiliency. And just imagine, you know, something, an organism being hit by something and it bounces instead of falling. And that's what Sika needs to become, is that finding that ability to withstand shock and blows, that wherever they may come from. It might be environmental, or it might be some global economic issue, or whatever it might be. We need to be working on strengthening our community, and that includes all the different economic drivers. You know, we have fishing, we have healthcare, education, we have the Native community, we have the arts. The list goes on. It's just phenomenal how much how rich our community is. And so we need to make sure that we're looking at each one of those segments and finding the areas where they're weak and strengthening them. And so that's something that's important to me and that I'd be focusing on.
Tor Christensen, building sustainable communities.
Well, I think, first of all, we need to realize the difference between being self-sufficient and being sustainable. No community is completely self-sufficient anymore in this world. You know, everything is, you know, we're all affected by things that happen in thousands and thousands on the other side of the globe. So, so I think the trick to sustainability in Sitka is economic diversity. And Mim touched on a few of those already. But I mean, we have, part of the reason why when the mill closed, we didn't implode is because we have, compared to almost any other town in Alaska, maybe any other town in Alaska, we have the most diverse economy out there. I mean, our largest health provider, or our largest employer is Search, but we've got the three seafood plants, we've got the tourism industry, which right now we've been talking about a lot because they're hurting right now, but we can't ignore the seafood industry because they're our backbone. I mean, I guess, both economically and I would say culturally, the seafood industry defines us. But then we've also got, like we've talked about earlier, all the different nonprofits, and the blurring line between nonprofit and education. We've got a number of that, but we have to be able to encourage multiple avenues of economic activity so that when one is down, the other ones can pick up the slack for the city. Obviously not for the people directly involved with that. Obviously having affordable utilities, a good harbor system, and things like that are providing that bedrock. You know, the infrastructure is very important, and that's always going to be a balancing act. Because if we don't have it, it's worse than being expensive. But we just need to do everything we can to help Sitkans get jobs. I know Cheryl mentioned small-time lumber, and there are three or four people in town doing that, and we should be trying to help them, anything we can do. One job is – every job is very important.
If you have a question for the candidates for mayor, 747-5877 is the way to ask that, or news@kcaw.org, or on Facebook. And we have Carl on the phone. Carl, good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening. If you're elected, how would you promote the sale of our renewable resource, water, from Blue Lake?
All right. Thanks, Carl. And Mim McConnell, this question begins with you.
Well, we've taken several stabs at it, and so far things haven't quite come together. We still have a contract with a company that's working on the export of bulk water. That hasn't gone away yet. So that'd be amazing if that actually worked. So I haven't heard anything about that recently. So I'm assuming that that's still being pursued. A company could find a way to bottle it affordably here in town and export it, that would be great. But I don't hold a lot of hopes with it. They've a number of different companies have tried to do that and failed. But if somebody wants to try again, I'm willing to support them in that endeavor. I'm open to any ideas with the water. So my understanding is that there will always be enough for our hydroelectric system, so we don't need to worry about depleting that. So give me the ideas.
Tor Christensen, how to market Sitka's water?
Well, first of all, we can push Sitka a little more. I mean, we've given them a budget, and we really need to continue to push them to work the phone, so to speak. The other thing is that we need to be looking at things the water can be used for besides drinking. For instance, one of my, pipe dreams is that we, one of the things that water would be very good for is cooling. And server farms, their biggest issue, one of their biggest, is cooling. And if I've often thought that if we could coordinate with somebody like Amazon to put a server farm out here and work increasing our hydro capacity at the same time and take care of their two biggest problems of power and cooling at the same time and get some really high-paying jobs in there. Google just spent $5 billion building wind farms to produce enough electricity to be about a quarter of what we could produce it to cats. And, you know, it's clean power. So, you know, we need to, I know it's oversaid, but think outside the box or think big every once in a while. And if you don't make those swings for the fences, you will absolutely never hit that home run. So we've got to try and maybe be willing to strike out on some ideas, but work at it.
Cheryl Westover, marketing Sitka's water.
Well, actually, Carl, there are some things in the bulk water business going on. Right now we have one company that pays $75,000 this year and coming up and next and last year just to have a contract on being able to ship out a third of our bulk water. An assembly, I think we've set a rate at a penny a gallon, which is pretty high. We've got a couple other companies wanting bulk water, and now the company that has the contract with us I think it'll be coming before the assembly either next meeting or if they follow through and where they want give us $1 million to have exclusivity for 2 years, which I need to see what they're offering. But in 2 years, I don't think we're going to see much happen in the bulk water, because one of the problems with bulk water, we've built the line from the lake and it's sitting at the water's edge, and some infrastructure, and you can probably do something in water credits to get it out to a tanker. But the problem is you don't have the tankers to around the world to help carry the water. And then if the Mideast or Mexico or somebody that really needs water, they've got to build an infrastructure to hold enough water that these containers hold. So there is stuff going on, and I don't want anybody to get too excited, because I think down the road, maybe, I hope in my lifetime, but maybe not, but this could be an answer to a lot of our financial problems, and it would really help cut rates and probably help the cost of living just enormously if we could actually do it. But don't quote me, but there are things coming down the pike in the way of bulk water.
747-5877 for questions with the mayoral candidates, the three mayoral candidates in our studio now and for the next 35 minutes. Tor Christensen, this next question will begin with you, and it comes from Facebook. Kevin wants to know, what do the candidates plan to do to get troubled youth and or the lack of youth-oriented centers improved in Sitka? Tor.
Okay. Had to ask me first on that one.
Luck of the draw, Tor.
Yeah. I think the first thing we would have to do is make sure that the school district is funded adequately, that their programs are out there, that, you know, Pacific High has probably done a lot for that. And, you know, we have helped, you know, for instance, the skateboard park and a number of other things, the ball fields. I think that if we can, I personally would like to see us encourage the sports programs as much as possible. I think that it's a hard problem. There isn't an easy answer. But I would say that from the assembly, what we can do is support the nonprofits that are dealing with it now, support the school district in their endeavors, and then be receptive when a group comes forward with an idea. And the, actually, the skateboard park is a really good example because that was pushed by the kids, and they raised the bulk of the money themselves. We were cheering from the sidelines. And it, so I think our from our perspective from the assembly, what the, and the mayor we could do is, I guess, cheerlead when somebody comes up with a good idea. I think that, I guess, homegrown or at least organic ideas like that tend to be more effective. When they come from top down, rarely are they do they work as well. Kids don't like to be told what to do any more than adults. So if it's their own ideas, we need to support them in that as best we can.
Chair Westover, how do we address troubled youth and the lack of youth-oriented centers? Kevin on Facebook wants to know.
Well, I actually think we have a lot of community assets that deal with troubled youth. We have our youth court system. We have Big Brothers, Big Sisters. We have youth advocates. We, you know, and I think what I like seeing happen is kind of Habitat for Humanity, but for our young people. I think that's a good course for that could help, and even in affordable housing. However, when you ask us that, I guess I would want to involve your parents, because I think troubled youth and what happens to them depends on what's going on at home. And so I don't know. I just see a lot of our young people are so busy they can't even hardly keep up with their schoolwork. And so I don't think it's for lack of things to do in Sitka. It's just, what do you want to do? And then I think we have had a couple youth come before us and ask about, I think they talked about building a golf course out behind the high school. Now, we don't have a lot of money, but I think you need to, this is a question, you talk to your parents and then maybe come forward and give us some ideas of what you think we have to do. Keeping in mind, we don't have a lot of extra money. So, but there are programs out there.
All right. Mim McConnell, same question, how to address troubled youth and the lack of youth-oriented centers in Sitka.
Pretty much ditto what's been said by Tor and Cheryl. But I would also add that Sickens Against Family Violence, or SAFE, also has some excellent programs for helping families and children. Also, the Hames Center has done amazing things. It's just amazing how much it's changed in the last year, and same with the Fine Arts Camp. And I know Fine Arts Camp is just now signing up kids for after-school art programs. I know I have a grandchild that's going to be taking a class. So it's, you know, more of those kind of activities, and, you know, any way that the Assembly or the mayor can help promote that kind of thing, I think, is great. The disc golf behind the high school, I think, is a fantastic idea. I know it's really popular in the younger generation, and I think it should be promoted as much as possible. I know money is a problem, so I don't know how much the Assembly can help financially with these kind of things, but if a letter of support can be written or a resolution passed to help bring in money for any of these kind of activities, then definitely need to be done.